Welcome to Ram Radio with Pastor John Coleman of Into the Word Ministries, the Biblical Alternative. Ram Radio stands for Reformation Apologetics Ministry. Ram Radio is a program for the Christian who is constantly learning and growing in the Word of God. The discussions during Ram Radio will challenge each listener to know what they believe and why they believe it. Sometimes the discussions will challenge your salvation. Stay with us and investigate the scriptures to know what is expected of the man or woman who claims Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Get your Bible ready. Here's Pastor John Coleman.
Thank you, Mark Ramsey, and thank you for joining us for the webcast today here from the Lucy Coleman Studio in Los Angeles, California. This is Pastor John Coleman, your internet pastor. Thank you for joining me on this first day of April 2013. I'm glad that you can take some time out and to give some thought to your Christian lifestyle. That's what I'm doing. Before I do anything in the office today, and I got tons of work to do, I know I'll be bogged down in this. I'm going to spend some time in the Word of God, encouraging you, talking about what's going on in the church today, talking about what can happen when there is long-term absence from the Word of God. Oh my goodness, I visited a church yesterday and I gotta share it with you. Thanks for joining me for the webcast, which is the Biblical Alternative. Yeah, I visited a church yesterday and it was quite interesting. It was a church. Well, I won't give the name of the church. I won't do that. But I'm just going to mention some of the negative points. Myself and the guests that visited the church with me and the guests that visited the church with me knows exquisitely what exegesis is, was outraged at what the preacher was doing. The preacher recognized me and he mentioned me. Well, when we walked in the place, the only place to sit was in the front row seats. There were a lot of empty seats. We could have sat somewhere else in the church, but one of the first things that I noticed was people had their baggage and books down like, hey, nobody can sit here. Either they were saving seats, which moved me and, the guests that came with me up to the front row of the church. So now we're sitting in the front row, and they had a bunch of things there where I guess our auxiliary person sat, but there was nowhere else that I could sit next to my guest. And a lot of assumptions was made. Some of the people in the place knew who I was there with, and obviously the pastor of the church didn't, but the pastor of the church knew me. And the pastor of the church began to make statements from the pulpit that had no, he started talking about forgiveness, let things up. We should, try to, his whole chain of reference when he saw me was just thrown off. And he started talking about forgiveness and don't hold nothing in your heart and harbor all this stuff. And I'm looking at the person that I'm with, and, we kind of looking at each other saying, what is this? Basically, what it was the preacher planting ideas in the people's head because I guess I walked in, and the preacher didn't know who I was with. And so he was making statements about, because he thought that the person that was with me was my woman, I guess, I'm looking at the preacher dead in his face in the first row. I'm listening to every word that the preacher is saying. It wasn't connected. My gosh, I swore to myself that I was going to stop visiting these places. But I just thought, maybe, I better read from the scripture that I was going to go to Colossians chapter. Colossians chapter Colossians chapter 2. We're going to start at Colossians chapter 2, verse 1. For I want you to know how great a struggle, Paul says, I have on your behalf for those who are at Laodicea and for those who have not personally seen my face. And then he says in verse 2, that their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love and attaining to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding, resulting in the true knowledge of God's mercy, that is, Christ himself. Now, you would expect every believer to understand what these verses mean, and that the implication of these verses might be that of the believer. I want to concentrate on verse 2, that their hearts may be encouraged. That's why a person is supposed to go to church. A person is, if you're going to attend a worship service, I don't care what day it is. It happened to be Resurrection Sunday. There's no special day. Any day when I go there, I don't go there to hear a message about Christ being resurrected, because I know that he's resurrected. And so if you go there just to hear about that and you already know about that, you're wasting your time. You can go to the beach. That's my opinion. Because you aren't learning anything new. And if you're going to learn the idiosyncrasies of what hour was he put on the cross, what hour did he come off the cross, and then you're going to argue about that or state of premise, you still haven't worshiped. You haven't done what you were supposed to do. I was thinking about this Monday morning, and I said, well, first thing that I have to do is I have to record a webcast. I know I have awful lot of stuff that I have to do, and I am going to do it. I don't plan to leave the house today. I'm going to stay in this office and get this work done. I got a lot of work to do towards the college things, and I need the time to do it. But I do God's business first. So let me get back to what happened. Verse 2 is the key that their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love and attaining to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding. You got to understand that. Paul was striving in his prayers for the Colossians, remaining steadfast in Jesus. Now, I knew this particular church very well. And I was devastated by how, number one, doctrinally, the people have fallen into disrepute. I mean, I guess they got a pastor there. My guest and I, we were speaking about only one person that seemed to have a little brains left. And I was just devastated by what I saw. Because their hearts were not being encouraged. Their hearts was being carried along the primrose path lane of a pastor who keeps talking about forgiveness. Wait a minute. What are you talking about forgiveness for? You got Christians in a church that haven't forgiven other Christians? I couldn't believe it. And these people, and I was looking at a reflection, because there was a reflection. I could see the congregants behind me sitting in their pews because of a reflection of where I was in the church. And so my head was facing forward, and I'm looking at the preacher. And I had on my glasses, my sunglasses, in there, because when I go to places like that, I'm looking at everything, and I don't want it to be obvious what I'm looking at. I'm looking at things because I'm noticing things, I'm documenting things. And the lady that was next to me kept whispering in my ear, why did he say that? What is he talking about? What am I here for? And I told this person, I said, you never heard me ever, ever. I mean, it was the most outrageous. I don't know how people choose people as the pastor of a church nowadays. I really have no idea what the criterion is for the choice or the selection. I was just totally set back. I will never forget that. And I've just never seen anything like it. And I won't even give the name of the place or anything like that. If anyone is there that knows me and comes to my website, they know. The only thing that I'm going to say is I was totally embarrassed by what you people have done. I mean, it just totally knocked off of my feet. And if that is an indication of what is happening in the church world, my decision to do what I did was the best. And I'm not talking about the Anselm Bible Fellowship either. I am not. Because I believe that Sean is doing a very good job in bringing the Word of God. And as long as those individuals go there, are studying with Sean Nelson, and all of that, and gaining some proper, because you're going to get the proper interpretation of the Word of God from Sean, from Anselm. I'm telling you, any pastor now that I ordained, and he sat in my classroom for all those years, I know what you're getting. And it's interesting because the visitor that visited with me has heard me preach for a number of years. And what was so outrageous is that the preacher was saying from the pulpit, this is what he was saying. He said, each of us got our own sins that we got to deal with. First of all, he levied this sin thing in somebody's life, that you got to get this sin out of your life. And I looked at him and I said, what the heck is he talking about? And I said, wait a minute, does he think he knows something about me? What is it? And then I'm picking up, and then he says, but see, all of us have this sin and we have to get rid of this sin. Now you have to remember, me and this woman that I'm with is sitting on the first row. And this woman is a good-looking woman. As a matter of fact, the woman is fine. All right? And all the preacher is supposed to do is preach, right? That's all he's supposed to do is preach. He's not supposed to be. And the lady that was sitting with me in the first row had on a decent level dress and everything. And, it you know, and all of that. And he's up there rambling about sin. You know, like, and I picked up on it. He's saying, I'm sinning because I'm with that beautiful woman. And, of course, then he went into some innuendo talking about he has to wrestle with what his greatest sin is. And I'm looking at him dead. I'm looking at him dead in his eyes when he looks at me and kind of halfway smiles, because I know what his sin is. See, I'm a man, and I'm looking at another man, but I'm looking at a man that's supposed to be a shepherd of a church. And looking at the woman sitting next to me in the first row, and he was talking about he had to battle his own personal sin, and I knew what it was by the way he looked at me and the woman that was sitting next to me. And he was trying to say, you ought to be ashamed of yourself, Pastor John, with this, I mean, you know, making these innuendos. I want you people to listen and listen well. I'm not crazy. I know what I saw. I know what I see when I go around these preachers. And I know a real pastor when I see one. And I know a fake one from Jump Street when I first lay my eyes on him. So anyhow, we sat through the entire thing. And of course, it was time for the children to do their part. You go to a Baptist church, that's what you're going to find. It's time for the Easter program, I guess. And I always get a kick out of that because I get a chance to look in the faces of the little children. And if you look in the faces of the little children, you can really tell. in the future who's going to be the smart ones coming up. You really can. You can tell who the outstanding children are going to be. There's some children that are memorizing the little thing, and they're just trying to remember the words. They have no idea, no connection with the words at all. One little boy was giving his part there. Oh, my goodness. He had the face of Paul Laurence Dunbar, the poet. And I know because I've seen pictures of him. And this boy had the eyes just like him. And his little mouth, when he was mouthing the words, he was mouthing the words. And guess what he was doing? He was seeking to understand what he was saying. And it was so impressive. Even the lady that was with me saw that. And she said, wasn't that marvelous? And I said, of course. And I said, you know, when I was pastoring a church, that's the best part of the little programs when the children came out that I liked the most. Because I got a chance to, people didn't understand why I was looking at the children and smiling the way that I was. Because a child is innocent, unscathed, untouched, albeit all during the service, the preacher kept alluding to the children that if you don't come to church, you're going to go to hell and everything like that. And so, I mean, he put emphasis on heaven and hell. And I said, wait a minute. I thought these people were baptized, saved. What are you doing this? Let the people live. It was like I was there and you had this constant threat. If you're not living right, you're going to go to hell. Let me say this right now. If you know God, and if you know God has pardoned you for your sins, whatever they are, then I don't know. Everybody's sin is different. You know, it's not sin to kiss a woman if you sit next to her. It is not a sin to kiss a woman in the church if you sit next to her. If she's a wife, you can kiss her. If she's not your wife, you can kiss her on the cheek or whatever. It's not a sin to do that. The sin is when people in the church is looking at who you kissing and wonder why you kiss. That is none of your business. You see what I mean? Well, that's inappropriate. It is not inappropriate. Whoever said that you couldn't kiss your wife in the church? Shut up. I mean... But these are the kind of innuendos that were coming from the pulpit. Don't innuendo me. Tell me what's on your mind. You talking to me, don't talk at me. Don't talk around me. Talk to me. John, who's that fox you would? Walking up in here on Sunday morning in my church, sitting in the front row seat. At the end of the presentation, the preacher, you know, he's going to try to recognize me. You can say, oh, well, and you know, don't let me forget Pastor John. Let's give him a hand clap. And I said, hold up. I said, y'all don't have to do that. Y'all know better than this. Don't be clapping for me. What's your problem? And then I told him, I said, I told you about that the last time I was here. I said it publicly, right in front of the whole blooming church. I said, don't play me, man. Don't be giving me no special honor, nothing. The guest sat next to me had to hunch me. I'm telling you, I don't play when I go out. There's so much. Look, you may have buffooned those idiots sitting in front of you with that crap, but don't try that stuff with me. No pastor is better than anyone in that room. And anytime one pastor tries to okey-doke another pastor, if you're truly a godly man, you publicly stop him. Now, I know some of you ain't got enough guts to do nothing but sit there and play. You know, Simon says this, Simple Simon. Don't Simple Simon me in no church house. Because when I was pastor, and I never did it, did not allow anyone in the pulpit area to do it, and will not allow you to do it to me when I visit the thing you call the house of God. Because I don't know what that place was. So after I told him to stop, He stopped, and some of the people snickered. Some of the young men looked at me. Who's this dude coming in here talking to the pastor like that? I looked at them like they crazy. Man, don't be looking at me like that. I'm still my own man. See, I could be a retired pastor. That means I'm retired from pulpit preaching. But I'm not retired from having these people's hearts being encouraged, because I'm wanting to see them knit together in love and attain into all the wealth that comes from the full assurance and the understanding, resulting in true knowledge of God's mystery, that is, Christ himself. While I was talking and correcting the preacher, and I said, and you, having acknowledged me, are trying to acknowledge me, not once in this place, in any way, have you greeted the person sitting next to me, which happens to be my daughter. And his mouth flew open. I told you she was fine. Both of my daughters are beautiful women. And my daughter said, Daddy, let's go to a church that we grew up in. Let's go and hear the word I said to my daughter. You don't want to go there. She said, yes, I do. Because, see, my daughter haven't been there in a worship service since 1997. And I said, okay, we'll go. I said, most of the old people are dead. And the young people that had brains that were there under my tutelage are gone. I said, there's some people still there that you know. But I said, I really, because I know who's pastoring the church. I know what's there. And when I told this man, this is my daughter, man, because he saw me looking at him when he was making all those, I'm a sinner going to hell. What am I doing with this? You know, my daughter is in her 40s, 41 now, and she looks honestly about 26 years old. We all hold our youth. Lucy gave me some beautiful babies, and I praise God for that. And I'm not saying that you're not beautiful. I'm just saying that's the way it is. And we went there. No, listen. I did not. I don't wear suits. As a matter of fact, my daughter said, Daddy, look at the some of these people haven't changed from the day. I said, I know it. Trapped in his own. Trapped in his own. Because I remember when I was pastor in the church and I told the people, you can come to church in anything. Just make sure your clothes are clean, not stinking. Have something on. But you don't have to dress up. That all that is tradition. That should be thrown out the window. That's crazy. What did I have on? You know me. I love my little sports outfits. I had one of those on. Walked in, had on me some nice little tennis. How you doing? Walked in, they sat right in the first row. Unintentionally, I wanted to sit in the back, but it was, you know, every family had a row of chairs. Wait a minute. Let us sit down somewhere. But afterwards, I got up and I said, he said, it's good seeing you. And I said, ditto. I wasn't critical. I wasn't critical. I didn't ask him why he did what he did. I'm just looking at him. And, of course, some of the people that knew me and my daughter, they came up to my daughter. And some of the young women graciously greeted her. And I spoke with some of the people that I knew there, and we left and we went to lunch and we were speaking about it. And Leslie was saying, Daddy, I've never heard anything like that from that lectern. I said, no, that is what the church, that is what they wanted. That she says, Daddy, I couldn't follow where the man was going. What was he, what? I said, that is what black religion is. I'm trying to bring those people up out of that. And this is what I thought, ladies and gentlemen. No, I didn't go there to mock them. I did not. My daughter, we were going to another church altogether. And while we were en route to that church, Leslie says, Daddy, I got a great idea. I said, what is it? Let's go and see what the vet looks like. I said, nah, I don't want to do that. She insisted, and since I spent the day with her, I said, okay, let's go. And that's what we did. And it was, to say the least, like I said, I worshiped at home. When I go visiting churches, I doubt if I'll be able to worship. And if I wanted to worship with a group of believers, seriously, I would go to Anselm, because I know that there are some people there that truly love God. I'm not sure about all of them, but there are some there that truly love God that I could really worship with. But I worship better alone, because that's what I do, is I'm going and I'm looking for transparency. I'm looking for hearts seeking to be encouraged, hearts that are knit together in love. This obviously wasn't because he babbled. If that was the sermon, it is still trying to tell people to stop fussing with somebody, forgive somebody, just as, I mean, all this. What you need to do is you need to tell them, y'all Negroes need to stay home if you come into the house of God with that. I couldn't stand it around me. And most of that stuff happens with women bickering with each other. And obviously because they either don't have husbands or they have weak husbands that don't know how to shut them up. I recall a conversation I was having with someone in my house. A woman was having harsh words with the man, and I said, excuse me, but I don't allow that. And she said, what? I don't allow a woman to debase a man and to talk him down like that. Well, he did that. I said, I don't care what he did. Did you hear what I said? I said, I don't allow that in my home. Now, I would not allow it in the church either. See, I know. Some of you listening to me, you think that's totally strange. Wait a minute, that their hearts may be encouraged. Your heart can't be encouraged if you come into church and you got this mess in you, that your heart may be encouraged, having been knit together in love. Have you? I was loving everybody in that church where I was yesterday. And so was my daughter. And the preacher just went off in left field. Man, you don't know. Man, don't make assumptions. Don't ever make assumptions. Now, you know, on Easter Sunday morning, a lot of folk went to church that don't usually go to that church. And that's what made my visit kind of exceptional and extraordinary, because I don't usually visit Olivet. I usually visit them on the rebound. I'm either speaking somewhere else and I'm in the area where the building is. And so I said, well, let me go by and see old friends. Well, this wasn't like that. This was, okay, we'll go there. But I knew when we went there that it would not be noteworthy of worship, because the man, my daughter's saying, Daddy, why is this man trying to use these big words and he's using them totally out of context? Why is it? And I told Leslie, I whispered in her ear, because I'm sitting in the room. He couldn't stick with the script, which was pure ignorance. And so he tried to put on airs. And then, you know, he was talking, oh, I see Pastor John sitting there. I was speaking somewhere and I was mentioning to someone, oh, yeah, John taught these people. No. Because if I had taught those people and they got the lesson, he wouldn't have been there. Those weren't the people that I taught. The people that I taught left. They are gone. They couldn't be there because they knew that there was nothing there. And for him to say something like that, and my daughter, who is an educated school teacher. I'm an educated college teacher, professor. We're there looking at that, and we're saying, oh, my God, what happened? People, I'm telling you, you're talking about backwards masking. Instead of the church going forward, and I'm talking about this little church in the African-American community, right in the middle of it. The church used to be a beacon, a light shining forth. No, not just, I mean, saying it's Easter Sunday. Forget that. Every Sunday, hey, this is Easter Monday. If you want to, look at the beautiful sunshine shining in Southern California. The clouds are hanging right over the ocean, off of the Pacific. I see it. But LA is lit up and it's warming up and it's going to be a beautiful day. As a matter of fact, what I have to do, let me step from this microphone a second and cut this. There it is, because I've been warming up the house since I got up. But the sun is coming out and it is just a gorgeous day here. This could have been Easter Sunday morning in Los Angeles. But that's not the point. The point is, when you go to the house of God, you expect to hear a word from God. You expect to see people's hearts knit together in love, attaining to the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding. My daughter and I could not even follow what the man was saying. Do you understand? When I read the Colossians 2:2, I could not understand what was going on. Not because I'm ignorant, but because there was no sustenance to what the man was saying. He put on a robe and was up there going through the motions of being a pastor to ignorant people that, and I don't mean ignorant in a negative way, I'm just trying to help you understand. They are ignorant of what a pastor is supposed to do. And for the people that are running that organization to allow that facade to go on is ridiculous. But I'm guessing, now this is what I'm guessing, because one of the classes that I have to put a quiz together today on and a midterm together is world religions. And I guess that's their world religion. And maybe someone will come and investigate that one day. But I'm going to tell you, it is not historical Christianity. I would hope that the first century Christians did not meet like that. I mean, Paul spoke about it. I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you on your behalf, for those who are at Laodicea, and for those who have not personally seen my face. He says, I know you haven't seen me, but I'm praying that your hearts may be encouraged when you come together, because you be knit together in some love here. And then he says, now, as you come to the worship service and you're sitting down and you're I must say, there was a Louise sung a song yesterday. It started up a little. Man, I'm telling you, there was a time, you know, I had set the choir down at the vet because of women bickering to sing their song before the sermon was preached. That particular aspect has always bugged me. Show-offs in the choir. People up there, instead of glorifying God and singing properly, they're showing themselves. That's one thing that I learned from the Reform movement, from the John MacArthur camps, when I would visit pastors' conferences and everything, and I would sit in certain rooms on choirs and singing. And there was a class that I took out at Talbot Theological Seminary on music in the church, where they were talking about the music should be suited and fitted for the worship service, every song, the words, and everything. And it was something because Sister Louise, and dear lady, no doubt in my mind, she has wonderful daughters that have gone on to college and done, as a matter of fact, two of the daughters were there at the church yesterday, and one is a counselor and wonderful, just went on to college, thanks to the behest of Greg Owens, had her, you know, to, you know, encourage her to go to San Diego State. The girl did well, and very intelligent, very bright, and Louise did a great job in raising those girls, just a great job. I don't know about Tom. I don't know what happened to her husband, but she did a great job in raising those girls. When I was there, her husband was there. But anyhow, Louise sung a song. And the song was appropriate for Louise because it was her singing from her heart to God, asking God to help strengthen her. And in the song, she was saying, "You are all I have, God." That's what she was saying. And I read it. As she was singing it, she has a beautiful voice. And she was looking up in the ceiling because she wasn't in the way Louise always sung, because she was worshiping in song. She was singing that song to God. And I appreciated her for that. And what made it crazy is after she sung it, the crazy preacher got up and said, "See, she was singing that song for all of us." And I was so outraged. You guys got to know. I was so outraged. I almost said from the pew, I just started groaning, and Leslie grabbed my arm because I was going to say, oh, you know what I was going to say, the H word. I was going to say, oh, H, no. She was singing that for her. Don't be trying to, because it was beautiful and it was right. It wasn't right for you because I know what he is. I know what he is. Telling you, man, have you ever met them deacons in the Baptist church that always carrying a Bible and looking at, man, come on, man. Come on, man. This is a joke. When he said that, I mean, and my daughter and I, when we left, we were just going to boom, point after point after point. And I asked her, I said, "Tell me the truth. Tell me the truth. When I passed through the church," and you know, Leslie was never baptized in the vet like Delia was. Leslie was my daughter that never joined. And she told me, she says, "Daddy, the years that I was in church," she said, "it ain't got nothing to do with you because I have sermons in my car. See, I can play my sermons and listen to it. And I'm still the same preacher I've always been." But I asked her, I said, did I ever do anything like that in my years of ministry? She said, "You know, y'all forced me to go to church. Because if you lived in the Coleman household, everybody went to church." Right. But I asked her, "Did I ever do this?" She said, "Never." And she just didn't say that because I'm her daddy. I asked her, I said, get real with me. Because if I ever did that, I need to go back to that church, turn around, and apologize to those people for even leading them in that direction in any way. And Leslie said, "Daddy, you never." She said, "Because mommy would not have allowed it. We wouldn't have been sitting there." Telling you people that go to some of these places, you need to stay home. You need to keep your money in your billfold or in your purse. And you need to spend it on what makes you a lively person. Give God the glory. And that's what I do whenever I go to any worship service. I am looking for that steadfastness in Christ. But I don't see it. I see sheep being led to the slaughter by false hirelings. No, I'm not saying that because in any way I would possibly pastor. You know, I was thinking the other day, and I was thinking out loud about it. Would I ever repastor a church? No. I would never. Number one, I'm too old. At 69, I wouldn't get back into that at all, because the first thing that I'd have to do is restructure the whole organization and turn it into an organism. Because that's what the ministry that I was in, it wasn't an organization, it was an organism. It was growing in and of itself. It was like a good virus overtaking the bad virus. When I became the overseer, you young pastors, listen to me. Listen to me, young pastors. You call yourself a pastor. You want to preach, right? The church that you go in, there is corruption there. And when you go in there, you have to correct the corruption. And the only way that you can do that is to bring a hardline biblical approach to everything. So you do away with the traditions of men. You say to the deacon board, oh, if this, you, all right, you guys got to pay for the building. You got to keep the lights on. Do that. But you can do that in the office back there. But here in this main floor here, I'm running this, and I'm running this with strict Bible. Because what we want to do is we want to separate the wheat from the chaff. What do you mean? Well, we're not going to pretend and play like we're going to heaven. We got anybody on as any board leader that got aught against any person, I'm removing that person from being that board leader. Yeah, but she's been this for 20 years. I'm removing her. There's strife and contention. There cannot be that. All right, what am I looking at next? See, that's what I'd do if I would take over a church. You don't want me to be your pastor, because if it is not biblically, yes, but this is a traditionally run church. I said, well, it's not Christ's church then, because Christ's church is not traditionally run. No. So no, I would never get back into that, because it would be a lost cause. It would definitely be a lost cause. But that was my Easter Sunday. And there you go. See, you're probably saying, John, you could have gone somewhere and sung the songs. I know he is risen up from the grave. He arose. I know that. You don't have to remind me. I saw so many people going to church yesterday, walking. A lot of people on buses. It started raining on some of them, and all they had was a suit that they had on their back, because they thought that it was Easter Sunday morning, that it was going to be bright, sunshiny, and all that. Oh, no. Cloudbursts over Los Angeles. But I don't know what your Easter Sunday was like. That is what mine was like. After the fact, we went and had lunch, and then we were invited to a friend's for dinner, and it was quite delightful. The greens were outstanding. Well, that'll about wrap it up for me. We're going to try to finish a lot of schoolwork today, and then after that, I'll probably work on another webcast, one that'll be more in tune to biblical. I want to get back on there, but I just wanted to share with you yesterday. God bless you. Enjoy the other clips and the other things. We have a few things describing Christian disability. You need to listen to that. Don't get in contact with this pastor and ask him a question that you already know the answer towards. And then when the pastor won't give you a right answer or a wrong answer, you get kind of salty. No, you do the research yourself. Because what if there were no way for you to reach some kind of authority figure that knows the Bible? Would you be able to find out? You know, and it comes down to it. So when you listen to describing Christian disability, that's when somebody knows the answer, but going to somebody else to see if he got the right answer, that you're a disabled person. Why spring break? I delved into that on why we take a break. Why don't we call it Easter break anymore? That was an interesting one. And then right under that, of course, we have, what's the other one? The Saturday night chat. You want to listen to that? I was musing on a Saturday night and directions for raising your sons in America today. Now, the theme of that one, of that hour, if you haven't listened to it yet, is that you are not going to win your sons over unless you are transparent. You got to be. I could go on and on and on, but my time's up. I got to pay these bills because it's the first of the month and then get these formats out. I love you guys. I really do. And I want to thank Peter Blake for being so hospitable yesterday and his wife. My goodness, we were saying that, just let me say this, Peter and Rebecca looks about the same. And it's just nice seeing some of those people again that I haven't seen in a while. Matter of fact, I may scoot by there when I finish up today and just sit down and have a cup of coffee with them. Ask them how things are going. See, that's what love is all about, right? That's what it's all about. God bless you. And whatever you do, stay in the Word.